independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Happy to be back. Filling in for Chad Benson, it's the Hammer and Nigel Show. My name is Nigel. That's Jason Hammer sitting right over there. Hammer, you've had the entire weekend to let the Republican healthcare disaster sink in. Has anything changed for you in your mind in terms of really how bad this whole thing is for Team Trump?
There are three different things that went through my mind.
Yeah.
The first was CNN. This was like Christmas morning, New Year's Eve, all tied into one for CNN, the way this thing went down in flames. This is an actual reaction from Jake Tapper.
Yes! Yes! Oh, yeah! Can you feel that, buddy? Huh? Huh?
I thought that was going to be an actual Jake Tapper audio. That sounded suspiciously to me like Ace Ventura. I'm not sure.
Okay, that may not have been Jake Tapper. But the reaction wasn't all that different, to be honest with you. CNN absolutely loved this because, let's be honest, they're the new MSNBC. MSNBC can't even get being the liberal station right anymore. CNN has taken that from them, and they gloated all weekend. Now, secondly, and this is a more serious question, how long did folks in the GOP know that this thing was a turd? Because we're hearing reports now that Vice President Pence knew this thing was a turd, and that's why he wanted it to be called Ryan Care.
Yeah, nobody wanted their name on this bill. Certainly not. It wasn't going to be called Trump Care.
No.
No way. And I don't know what you would have called it, but yeah, a turd burger.
The Vice President's office has came out and stated that they've denied any conversations about naming the bill Ryan Care. However, the New York Times reported that until the final week, Mr. Trump's team was, quote, deeply divided over whether he should fully commit on a hard sell on the bill that they viewed as fundamentally flawed, and yeah, that Vice President Mike Pence wanted it to be called Ryan Care, not Trump Care, according to aides.
Again, Pence has denied that, but I think we can all read between the lines here. Pence, you know, Pence understands conservatives in Congress. He didn't want anything to do with this bill, even though he had to toe the Trump line.
When you look at all the folks that are associated with Team Trump,
yeah,
from the president to his chief of staff, to his advisors, to his spokespeople, the only one that really knows the nuances of Washington is Mike Pence.
Yeah.
This is a guy that's an actual politician. And coming from a conservative state, a Republican senator, a Republican governor, rather, this was a guy that knew this thing was not going to work. So I see him working there. But the big question, and again, the elephant in the room, we've had the weekend to sit back and think about it. Who was to blame on this? Some people will say blame is not important, but I think blame is very important.
You absolutely have to have somebody to blame here, because how are you going to have anybody to hold accountable for anything if not?
And your president was famous for firing people on a TV show where blame sometimes was tough to find, but he always found a way. So if you're going to have this situation where, let's be honest, it's a big punch in the gut to the legacy of Donald Trump, whether he wants to admit it or not, whether it's fair or not, well, perception is reality. Somebody's got to face the blame. And coming out on Friday afternoon, Paul Ryan, a lot of people are pointing their finger at Paul Ryan.
Well, yeah.
He was the one that came out and stated that no person was to blame for this, but growing pains were to blame.
I will not sugarcoat this. This is a disappointing day for us. Moving from an opposition party to a governing party comes with growing pains. And, well, we're feeling those growing pains.
Show me that smile.
Growing pains are to blame for the bill not passing. Growing pains.
Let me ask you this, Hammer, and be honest. Does Trump share any of the blame here for setting this arbitrary date where this health care bill had to be signed off on, instead of just telling everybody to take it easy, let's take our time? He set a date which was completely unrealistic, in my opinion, and so happened to fall on the anniversary of Obamacare. I wonder if that had anything to do with it. Does Trump share any of the blame here?
He shares a little bit. I think he's always going to be blamed because of, one, he's the president of the United States, and two, he's such an alpha male personality that he's always going to take some of the blame. But honestly, put yourself in Donald Trump's position. Let's say you're running for the office. This is, you know, primary season. It's April 2016, yeah. 2015. You would think that the people you're going to be working with have got some sort of concept of a replacement plan because they've had 7 years to come up with one. Not overnight, not a couple weeks. They've been bitching about this for 7 years. And when push came to shove, they did not have an answer for it. They did not have any plan of how to repeal or replace this. But to his credit, Donald Trump went out this past weekend and did not blame Paul Ryan.
I like Speaker Ryan. He worked very, very hard. A lot of different groups. He's got a lot of factions. I think Paul really worked hard. And I would say that we will probably start going very, very strongly for the big tax cuts and tax reform. That'll be next.
A lot of different factions, a lot of different groups. Is that what he said?
A lot of different groups. He's got a lot of factions.
You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the dude in The Big Lebowski trying to describe to Maude what's going on here with the case.
This is a very complicated case, Maude. You know, a lot of ins, a lot of outs, a lot of what have you, and a lot of strands to keep in my head.
That's Donald Trump right there describing what exactly happened with the health care bill. A lot of ins, a lot of outs.
A lot of factions. It seemed like everybody was on the same page. Everybody was taking the high road up until Donald Trump sent out a tweet. I know this may come as a surprise to you, Nigel, but Donald Trump is active on Twitter. I don't know if you've heard that or not.
This is a separate discussion, and you and I disagree with this. I think he needs to delete his Twitter account.
Not a chance in the world. But he sent out a tweet that seemed very odd.
Yeah.
Promoting the fact that he wanted everybody to watch Judge Jeanine's show on Fox. That's all that he tweeted out. He just wanted people to watch the show, which the timing of it seemed weird. We didn't know if he was going to be on the show or what. But when the show aired, we finally found out why he wanted us to watch Judge Jeanine on Fox.
Paul Ryan needs to step down as Speaker of the House.
Has Donald Trump ever tweeted about Judge Jeanine before?
No.
Is this like, was this planned out?
It had to be. Now,
Hold on. Let's back up just for a second. He tweeted out, what did he tweet out? Just tune in to Judge Jeanine tonight? Didn't give any details of what was going to be discussed. You may have thought he was going to be on the show.
Right.
I mean, you left out your own conclusions on why to tune in.
Right.
And then, well, just think if you're Paul Ryan and you tuned in because of Trump's tweet. Ooh, Donald Trump said I should tune in here.
Ryan needs to step down as Speaker of the House.
Wow.
But this is what bothers me. He's since gone back and kind of danced around that. He told some of his advisors and he told some media members that he did not know that Judge Jeanine was going to do that on her show.
Are you kidding me? He's already he's backtracked on that?
Backtracked just
a
little bit.
Wow. I mean, you know, don't treat me like an a-hole, please. Please, just listen. You've never tweeted about Judge Jeanine before in your life, Donald. Why now? And then you're going to treat us like a kid and say, oh, no, I didn't know anything about it.
Bull
wow.
Crap.
So it was kind of like a back channel communicating there.
It goes back to something George Carlin once said. And again, I'm someone who can view a liberal comedian and laugh without being offended by everything. George Carlin, pound for pound, to me, the greatest comedian of all time. Disagree with his politics, funniest guy I've ever heard. He once stated there are two types of people. There are liars, and there are people that are full of blank. And in this case right here, Donald Trump is full of blank.
You're
don't tell
it.
Me you did not know what Judge Jeanine was going to say about Paul Ryan. So with that being said, Nigel, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is it important we find who's to blame, and can the Trump administration move forward in getting tax cuts right without, you know, having a scapegoat here?
I said it before. Someone has to be blamed, because how do you hold anybody accountable for anything from this moment on? Of course somebody needs to be blamed, and there's plenty of it to go around. Republicans for coming up with a crap bill, Donald Trump setting this arbitrary date saying, you know, it's got to be done by this date. you know, Donald Trump trying to strong arm Congress, give him the old Godfather treatment. Remember that last week?
Oh, yeah.
You're gonna vote for this, and you're gonna vote yes for this. Make him an offer they can't refuse, or you'll lose your jobs.
And speaking of Godfather references, now he's open to working with the Democrats.
Yeah.
Which reminds me of the Godfather Part Two. If I'm the Democrats, I come back and say, my offer is nothing. My offer is nothing. I'm not paying for the gaming license. I'm not helping you. My offer is nothing. If you agree or disagree, we are active on Twitter tonight. Much like Donald Trump, we love to hear from people via Twitter at Hammer and Nigel, Facebook.com/Hammer and Nigel.
You mentioned, Hammer, before we hit a break here, you mentioned your favorite comedian, George Carlin. You have some interesting thoughts on the new Dave Chappelle Netflix special. You saw it over the weekend. You watched it.
I watched both of them.
You watched, there's two specials. And what did you think?
I'm a Chappelle fan.
Sure. Who isn't? Chappelle's Show, one of the funniest shows ever on Comedy Central.
Not his best work. Not his best work.
Wow.
And I'm not somebody that's offended by anything. It just wasn't very funny. I've seen him way funnier before. These two Netflix specials, maybe I was anticipating too much, but I don't think that was the case. Chappelle usually delivers. They were just not very funny.
Interesting. Wow.
One was taped
Shocked to hear you
back
say
in
it.
2015, and another one was taped last year. And both shows are different. It's not the same content. Both shows are different. There are a few laughs. I'm not going to say it was, you know, a bummer the whole way out. There are some laughs, but as a whole, man, it was just very uninspiring.
Coming up next on the Chad Benson Show, we are Hammer and Nigel filling in for Chad. I got some breaking celebrity sex tape news.
Oh, fantastic.
Can we hit that real quick coming out?
Please tell me it's not Rosie O'Donnell.
I'm just going to tease it. All new break. This is a big one, too. Actually, this is a big one, and we'll get to that next. We are Hammer and Nigel filling in for Chad Benson.
Giving the First Amendment a run for its money. This is the Chad Benson Show.
Hammer and Nigel filling in for Chad Benson. My name is Nigel. That's Hammer over there. 844-DIG-CHAD. We are live. You can tweet at us at Chad Benson Show or at Hammer and Nigel. Hammer, I'll give you two guesses as to who is the subject of the celebrity sex tape that it's not released yet, but it's confirmed there is one.
Okay, so a celebrity tape is out.
Yeah. Two guesses.
Nancy Pelosi.
I said celebrity. Is she a celebrity? She's a pop.
My bad. Rachel Maddow.
No. Britney Spears.
Ooh.
You got a little thing for Britney, don't you?
I've always had a thing for Britney.
In fact, before I get to the story, you and your wife kind of have she's your celebrity pass.
I have a free pass if I ever get the chance to have relations with Britney.
I'd have to assume, even if you get in the same vicinity of Britney, there'd be no possible way that she would be accepting of such an offer.
Donald Trump won the presidency. The Cubs won the World Series. Anything is possible, my friend.
This is from RadarOnline.com. Britney Spears. There's a sex tape that has been leaked in the footage, which Radar has decided not to publish. Spears is topless while smoking what looks like a joint and gyrating on top of a secret lover. So
they're not
publishing the tape. They're just going to describe it in detail to you.
They're giving you play by play, but they won't release the tape. Now, if they have Kevin Harlan doing the announcing of it, that'd be fantastic.
There you go. Although the footage of the new flick has been viewed by Radar, a rep for Britney Spears has denied that such a tape exists. So Radar Online says, yeah, we got it. We're not going to publish it. We'll just describe it in detail.
Here's my thing with Britney Spears, and this is why she's my one pass. There are way hotter girls in the world right now. You look at Kate Upton, you look at some of these beautiful women, but that would mean more to me. Just because when I was growing up, she was in her prime, man. And it didn't get any better than 19, 20-year-old Britney Spears back in the day.
I liked bald-headed Britney Spears beating the crap out of the side of a car with an umbrella.
We've all been through that phase. We've all been through that phase where you've gotten a bad haircut, made a few bad decisions. Usually happens in your 20s.
Let me ask you one more thing before we move on here. Would you watch the tape from Britney Spears. You, was that something you watch? All right.
Yes. I'm mad Radar Online hasn't leaked it yet. Of course I would.
Although, shameful.
I'm completely honest when I say this. I will watch pretty much anything. If someone comes to me and says, hey, I've got this tape of Dr. Phil and Oprah, I will probably watch it. Just because it's there. Out of morbid curiosity. I'm the guy that likes to drive down the road. If I see a crash, I'm going to look and see what's going on. Okay. If somebody's being arrested in front of my house, I have to go out and see what's going on. Same thing with this. I'm curious.
You're a rubbernecker.
I am.
You're one of those guys out on the road that I have to slow down for because you're looking at the wreck on the other side of the interstate.
True. I admit it, though. I'm proud to admit that I'm curious to see when that stuff goes down.
Yeah, boy, Britney Spears. Did you know there was a there's a rumor that she has a sex tape with Justin Timberlake?
Yes.
I didn't know that. You heard that?
That's been around for a while.
I once snuck a fifth of Captain Morgan's down my pants into a Britney Spears concert.
Really?
I did not want to be there. It was when I was working in Top 40 radio. I had to go. I thought the only way to get through this was sneaking a fifth of Captain down my pants, and it worked.
Huh.
It worked.
They didn't have the wand back then, or they didn't patch it down, or
nope,
snap the old rubber glove on and ask you to try to relax?
Nope. Twitter, @HammerandNigel. Coming up next, Hammer, we've got a story that you've been wondering about in Cincinnati.
Yeah, the Cincinnati nightclub shooting. My question is, where is the coverage? When you turn on the news right now, it's all healthcare debacle, and I understand that. That's something that affects the entire country. But at some point, you can't mix in some coverage of this shooting in Cincinnati where 16 people were shot. They haven't arrested anybody yet. And there's a lot of different political avenues to go down with this story.
Okay, we'll get to that next. The Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson. We'll be back. Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson, 844-DIG-CHAD, @ChadBensonShow. That's Chad's Twitter, or you can find us on Twitter, too, @HammerandNigel. My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer sitting right over there. This nightclub shooting in Cincinnati sure has some interesting components to it, Hammer. I guess what happened, this isn't the first time this particular club has been the subject, been involved in a shooting, right? There's been trouble at this club before.
They've got a pretty lengthy track record. And to know a little bit about where this nightclub was at, it's not in what you would call the good part of Cincinnati. Cincinnati's got some pockets of some violence. Don't forget, they had the racial riots almost 15, 20 years ago in Cincinnati. So there's still some areas that are troublesome. And they've got a lot of crime in certain areas, like a lot of big cities. And this nightclub is in one of those areas. Here's the thing that I have a problem with this whole story, Nigel. And to understand my point, let me just lay this out there. Because, again, we're filling in for Chad Benson tonight, and nobody knows us from anything. I am a self-proclaimed news nerd, right? When there's a breaking story, when something happens, I like to watch all the news networks to see how they're covering it, to see how they're putting spin on something. I will go to all the websites, whether I agree with their politics or not, just to see how they're covering this story. So while watching all the news networks over the weekend, I'm floored that this Cincinnati shooting did not get more attention than it got. Here's a story where 17 people were shot and injured in the nightclub, one dead. One person was dead The police are saying multiple people had weapons inside this club where they allegedly screen you, pat you down before you go in.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. But yet this is just a blip on the radar. This is coming in behind the news cycle on all these rumors and all these allegations from both sides of the scale, from Schiff to Nunez. Both sides saying, you know, they are working with the Russians or they spied on us. This is all gossip and hearsay. We keep hearing about evidence. We keep hearing about a smoking gun, but nobody's provided a damn thing right now. It's all gossip. And
those
gossip,
are the headlines.
Those are the headlines. This is an actual shooting in the middle of the country. One person died, 17 people shot inside of a club just to have a good time. And I'm floored that this is not a bigger story.
I think if this had been... Obviously, this wasn't terrorism. If this had been terrorism, it would be a huge story. If this was a targeted shooting of some sort, I think it'd be a bigger story. But what we have here is a giant brawl inside this club. Some guy or guys pulled out their guns and started firing. I think these types of things probably happen a lot more than we're used to or we know as far as late night clubs and shootings and in bad areas. I don't think this is worthy of, you know, the lead news story with Lester Holt on NBC Nightly News.
That's I'm not just saying me. It's the lead, but I do believe it's worthy of top two or top three. And this is why. You're absolutely right, Nigel. You could go to any big city and every once in a while there's going to be guns pulled out, shots fired at a nightclub. Maybe one person gets shot. But this was 17.
Yeah.
17 in one small nightclub, one person dead. And I'm also somebody that believes a life is a life. But the news cycle doesn't believe that, because if you disagree with me, let me know. But had this happened in a gay club, it would have been the top story. Had this been a white guy going into a predominantly urban neighborhood, urban nightclub, mm-hmm. would have been the top story. But because it was pretty much, you know, everybody
there
brawling.
Brawl.
Yeah. It's kind of an afterthought.
You know, the other part about that story is that witnesses are not being cooperative.
Right.
So?
No one's been arrested yet. No one's been charged yet. It happened over the weekend. So these, you know, maniacs that walked into this nightclub, somehow getting past the rigorous screening... where they pat you down for guns, but yet the police are saying multiple people had guns, not just a couple, multiple, and there are multiple people on the surveillance tape firing their weapons.
Have you ever been to a bar? Like, I'm 40 years old, Hammer, and I've been going to clubs. I don't want to say nightclubs. I like to use the term bars. I don't like going to nightclubs, but I spent the better part of my 20s and 30s going to bars. I think I can count on one hand the number of times I've seen a brawl or a fight or anything break out like that. Have you ever been to a club where it's just all chaos and fights have been broken out?
No.
Fights? Never.
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 I've seen a few fights, but I haven't seen chaos. I think there's a big difference.
Yeah,
two drunk guys pushing, shoving, throwing punches, that's par for the course. But what happened here, this was a melee. This was chaos and multiple people drawing weapons. And yet you look at the news stories, you look at every single news channel. What are we talking about? Who's to blame for healthcare and all the rumors and allegations? I'm fine if healthcare is the top story. But when there are 17 people being shot at in middle America, This is a problem. I bet you everything I own, if this happened in New York or Los Angeles or Miami, you would see it higher in the food chain. But because it happened in Cincinnati, you know, the Midwest of the country, what a lot of people call flyover country, it's kind of an afterthought. And that's disappointing to me.
What happened in Jacksonville that's got you all fired up?
Another thing that's disappointing to me is the way that certain communities and homeowners associations treat law enforcement.
Oh, boy, the homeowners associations.
You've had homeowners association before, right?
Oh, they suck. Homeowners associations just are just horrible. I built a deck on the back of my house, had the homeowners association's representatives come out three different times just to make sure they were doing everything by the book. I guess, you know, they were looking out for my best interests. ultimately. But the hoops I had to go through to build my own deck on my own house where I pay property taxes. Very high property taxes, by the way. Very ridiculous. But yeah, so what happened in Jacksonville with the Homeowners Association?
There's a police officer that lives in a neighborhood in Jacksonville. He has a Blue Lives Matter flag hanging from his house. Now, if you don't know what that flag is, it looks like a regular American flag, but it's blue and there's a big blue stripe going down the middle to show support for law enforcement. And according to WJAX in Jacksonville, the Homeowners Association went to this police officer and they wanted him to remove it because they said they were getting complaints that it was racist.
They told her they'd received a complaint that it was considered racist and offensive. We've got black officers, Asian officers, you've got every race. I mean, for them to say it's racist, blue's not a race. I mean, it's the furthest thing from it.
Was that the police officer?
That's the police officer from WJAX in Jacksonville.
I think any sane person could understand and agree that that's the furthest thing from racist. But the fact that the Homeowners Association kowtowed to one complaint. Now, let me ask you this about the Homeowners Association. Are you allowed to have flags up in this community?
You are, but they have to be approved. Now, this is the backstory. This is what makes this a little bit more infuriating. Yeah, the officer filled out the paperwork, put in a request, did everything right to have that flag flown at his house. They denied it. He puts it up anyway. The news crew from the Florida TV station, WJAX, they went around the neighborhood and saw lots of other houses with different flags flying that have not been approved. But yet this guy's flag, Blue Lives Matter.
A police officer
who works to keep the community safe, his flag is viewed as racist. I mean, are you kidding me?
That's pretty infuriating. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the world we live in.
That's 2017 summed up right there. That's all you need to know about 2017. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show. We are filling in for Chad Benson tonight. Again, tweet at us at Hammer and Nigel. Coming up next, big sports weekend. The Final Four is set. And I think one person, one coach, is going to be the breakout star of all of this. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson. We'll be back.
Irreverent? Yeah. So what? It's the Chad Benson Show.
The men's college basketball tournament, NCAA Hammer, has been amazing. Duke and North Carolina yesterday.
Kentucky.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kentucky and North Carolina yesterday were amazing. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show. We're filling in for Chad Benson at Chad Benson Show or at Hammer and Nigel. Did you watch any North Carolina, Kentucky? Did you see the ending?
I watched that whole game, and that's what you want the NCAA tournament to be. Two powerhouses, two blue bloods, you know, loaded with national championships, going down, making big shots.
You see the viral videos of people taping the Kentucky bars. Because what happened was Kentucky hits a three with like 6 or 7 seconds left. They tied it, right?
Right.
And then what happened?
Well, North Carolina didn't have any timeouts. They inbound the ball. They come right down. They kick it to some dude who hits a jumper at the buzzer for the win.
Oh, man. Just those videos of the poor Kentucky fans at their favorite bar going nuts. Just pandemonium at this bar. And then life sucked right out of them after that North Carolina shot.
The Final Four is North Carolina against Oregon and then South Carolina against Gonzaga. And South Carolina, I love their coach, Frank Martin.
Yeah.
This guy could be the breakout star of the whole thing because he's just an old school kind of guy. You know, he's the nose to the grindstone kind of guy, does it with defense. You know, he's not real flashy. He's kind of old school. Looks like the kind of guy that would be a bouncer at a bar. You know, like not somebody you want to get into a bar fight with.
Outside like the Sopranos strip club there. And then, definitely. He's what they call in the industry a hard ass.
He's a hard ass.
I like him.
What was great, though, was there was a press conference before their game this past weekend, and Sports Illustrated for Kids, they had a beat reporter there. His name was Max Bonstetter. And sometimes when you put these little kids in a press conference, they ask dumb questions, but it's funny and everybody has a good laugh. This kid was legitimately good.
Max Bonstetter, Sports Illustrated for Kids. Coach, congratulations on the win tonight. Your team clearly won the defensive battle tonight. When you coach and teach your team defense, what's more important, technique or attitude?
First of all, a lot of respect to you. That's a heck of a question. I've been doing this a long time, and that's the first time anyone's ever asked me that. That's a heck of a question.
That was a great question.
It was a great question and a cool moment for the kid, I think. He's going right. to remember that for the rest of his life. And to be acknowledged by Frank Martin, saying that he has a lot of respect for that kid, is that's pretty cool.
Not only did Frank Martin acknowledge him during that question, the next day, the following day after practice, the kid wasn't there, but Frank Martin was still talking about him.
Where's my guy from last night?
He'll be back tomorrow.
He'll be back? I got to tell you now. When that young man asked the question he asked yesterday, and I'm not trying to get any national attention on this. My SID told me that it's become like a story. I wish I can express myself like that when I was his age. I'm telling you, that is as articulate and good a question as I've been asked all year. That was powerful stuff.
Did you see that there are reporters and bloggers bashing the kid that he even got to ask that question? Did you see this?
Dennis Dodd, who is a national sports writer, said, quote, "It was cute, but an insult to the profession."
He went on a radio station and said that.
David Caravello, I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, he is a sports writer in South Carolina, tweeted, "SI for Kids reporter is cute and all, but not a fan of off-topic questions at 1 a.m. when beat writers are trying to pull gamers together."
What an incredible a-hole.
First of all, it was a topical question. It was a good question. I have covered locker rooms for a long time. I was a sports guy for a long time, did a lot of those kind of pressers. And normally you get questions or comments like, talk about your team's blank. It's not even a question.
Right.
Second of all, how long was that kid's question? Maybe a minute? Maybe a minute.
Yeah, it wasn't even a minute. The question itself was just a few words. It was awesome.
That does not affect your deadline time. You're being a jerk for the sake of being a jerk. And this is one of those rare times, Nigel, where I love social media. Sometimes it can be a nuisance, but in instances like this, both of these guys, Dennis Dodd and David Caravello, were lit up on social media to the point to where they had to start backtracking.
Well, here's Dennis Dodd certainly backtracked. He tweeted this out. "SI for Kids kid asked a great question. My apologies to him and Mag. I've asked plenty of dumb questions. Well done to him and Frank Martin."
A.K.A. wow, I was kind of a jerk.
No, A.K.A. I got called out, and I wouldn't be doing this right now if nobody had called me out.
Caravello claimed that he was actually talking about an SI Kids question from a different game.
What does that matter? Still
you
a bad look.
Jackass. Good question for the kid. Great for Frank Martin. But those were definitely the two big stories of the weekend. NCAA tournament and the fallout of the healthcare bill. So what we've done here at the Hammer and Nigel show, we've combined them all into one sappy montage, the way that CBS would do. We call this the healthcare bill edition of One Shining Moment.
We came really close today, but we came up short. I will not sugarcoat this. This is a disappointing day for us. Moving from an opposition party to a governing party comes with growing pains. And, well, we're feeling those growing pains today.
I like Speaker Ryan. He worked very, very hard.
Ryan needs to step down as the Speaker of the House.
Shining moment.
The best thing we can do, politically speaking, is let Obamacare explode. It is exploding right now. One shining moment. But I think the losers are Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer.
I love that Trump couldn't get through a press conference without calling somebody a loser, by the way. That last part was from Friday.
You want him to play the hits, right?
Yeah.
When he speaks, you want to hear the hits. When you go see Journey in concert, you want to hear Don't Stop Believing. When you hear Donald Trump speak, you want to hear him call somebody a loser.
But I think the losers are Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer.
Do you have anybody still left in your bracket on the Final Four?
Busted. Mine was way busted early. I know Phil, our producer, Phil's yours is busted, right? I mean,
I've only got one in the Final Four.
Well, that's something.
Right.
At least you got one. Who you got?
Zaga.
The Zags.
Wow, okay.
All right.
What about you?
I am completely teamless in the Final Four. That's why I am calling for a complete repeal and replace of our brackets. I want this done before the weekend. Maybe if we can get the votes together, we can put the right teams in. But I got burnt by UCLA and Villanova.
Did you see at the end of the South Carolina win, Hootie had tears? Darius Rucker was there crying.
I don't like it when Hootie cries. I feel sad when Hootie's got tears in his eyes.
Hammer and Nigel filling in for Chad Benson.
This is the Chad Benson Show.